drive, I'm staying active, but I don't like working out. I don't like going to the gym. It's not something I look forward to. I like playing volleyball. I love going to do that. I don't like going to work out. It is a necessary evil in my life. I'm a big guy, so I have to work out to stay healthy. So this week, I went back into Planet Fitness, where they know me so well, and I signed up. This week I went and I ran on the treadmill. I worked with their circuit of weightlifting machines. I stretched. I used the recumbent bicycle, the elliptical. I watched TV on my little phone with my little earphones in. Blah, 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 blah. It is what it is. I don't like working out. And as I sweat and breathe hard and push myself to be healthier, it hits me, this is hard. Wouldn't it be easier if I could just eat whatever I wanted and lay around all day taking naps and lounge in the evening rather than trying to get my 3 miles in on the treadmill? Wouldn't that be easier? This is hard. I come home from work, I change into workout clothes, I drive to the gym, I spend an hour sweating and straining and breathing hard and exhausting myself to then drive home and pour myself into a chair because now I'm too tired to do anything else. This is hard. In our scriptures today, we find followers of God who also experienced this moment when they realized that faith is hard. King Solomon, in the book of 1 Kings, has built a temple for God, a place to house the Ark of the Covenant, which has gone before the people of Israel for generations, which has been for them the physical manifestation of God's presence among them. They have built God a home. Now remember, just a couple weeks ago, we read the scripture from 1 Kings where God specifically told Solomon, I don't want you to build me a home. He said to Solomon, who are you to build me a home? I will build a house for you. God wanted to remain among the people, but Solomon chooses to build the temple anyway. And now comes the moment in 1 Kings 8 when they place God in the box they have constructed for God. They bring the ark into the Holy of Holies, the inner room, the inner sanctum. Starting in verse 6, it says, the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. And when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So they bring God into the temple, into the inner sanctum, and something immediately happens. The glory of the Lord fills the room in the form of a cloud. God has taken this form with the Israelites before. When they were fleeing from Pharaoh's army, God went behind them during the day as a great cloud. At night, he was a pillar of fire. So they built the temple to house God, to contain the Almighty Creator of the universe. And when they placed the ark, that physical representation of God, into this place they had constructed, it immediately fills up with smoke, with cloud. God's glory fills the room. So much so, the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. The priests, the Levites, they couldn't even go in. It was too full of cloud. They tried to walk in the room. They couldn't breathe. They couldn't see. They had to leave. Literally, God's Spirit fills the room and pushes the priests outside. Faith would be easier, wouldn't it, if we could just sit here? If we could just sit here and sing our songs and read our scriptures and pray our prayers. Faith would be so much easier if this all there was to it. This is not it. We are not called to be a people of the inner sanctuary. We are not called to be a people of the inner room. We're not called to be a people who hide away and praise God and worship God, and that's all that we do. God's glory fills us here in God's house, and we are forced outside, pushed by God out into the world where the people are, where the need is, where people are hungry and thirsty for the Word of God, for the grace of God, for the love of God. God's Spirit fills this place to overflowing. And we are forced outside. We cannot simply stand here and minister. We must go out there where God wanted to be in the first place. We tried to box God in with our walls, and God's glory filled the place, and we were forced outside instead. It would be easier to just sit right here and have our faith. But we are pushed outside. This is hard. The Gospel of John, for the third week in a row, we encounter Jesus teaching on the living bread. The bread that came down from heaven that we might eat of it and not die. If it's repeated, it must be important. Jesus says, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Jesus is standing in the synagogue, the small representation of the temple that was in each community, the house of God, the place of worship. He is essentially standing in church, teaching about the living bread. And when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" This is hard. But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining, said to them, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but among you there are some who do not believe." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. There's a couple things to note here. First off, Jesus referring to his disciples is not referring only to the 12. Jesus had a crowd of followers much larger than the 12. These people followed him around as he taught around Galilee, around Nazareth, around Capernaum. They followed Jesus. They listened to his teachings. And this day finds them in the synagogue, and the synagogue is full, and they're listening to him, and he says, "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever." And they said, "This is hard. I don't always understand it. I don't always get it." And many of them chose then to leave. There's a phrase among long-distance runners, "of whom I am not one." There's a phrase called hitting the wall. Right? I do have a friend who's a marathon runner, and she talks about this. She's like, "You know, when you first start a marathon," she said, "the first few miles is actually kind of fun. You know, if it's a nice day, the wind's blowing, you're feeling good, right? You're running, and you're like, yes, I love to run." And she goes, "But there comes a point where all of a sudden your body realizes that this is hard, and all of a sudden, every time you take a breath, your lungs are on fire, your heart's beating like it's trying to escape your chest, your legs are tired, your back hurts. You hit that wall," and that's where a lot of runners will stop. They'll hit that wall and say, "I can't go on." Again, I've never been a long distance. I think the longest distance I've run is to the kitchen. That's about as far as I made it. But you know, when I was in high school, I was a wrestler. And every wrestling season would come around, and the first day of practice, the room would be full. We'd have 35 people out for wrestling. And I would think, man, this is awesome. You know, we're going to have 2, 3, 4 people at every weight class. This is great. And we'd have our first practice. And our practices were about 3.5 hours long. They included running for 3 miles. They included, I mean, we were in a small room with the heat turned on, and it was you get done. second day of practice, there was 30 guys. And the third day of practice, there was 25 guys. Right? Hit that wall, and they said, oh, that's not for me. That's too hard. Right? In seminary, when I went to seminary, I went to St. Paul, which is now down at Church of the Resurrection, but when I went to St. Paul, the first year of seminary, you're required to take a class called Intro to the Bible. It was co-taught, and when I went there, it was by Dr. Harold Washington Dr. Warren was the other teacher. And they were hard teachers. These were world-renowned scholars on the Bible that were teaching us. And it was a hard class. And it was supposed to be a hard class. Unofficially, it was the class we had to take to see if we were going to be able to do this or not. It was the class that 100 people started taking and 50 people finished taking. It was the class that was too hard. Right? All through life, we encounter these moments where we hit that wall, where we have to decide, this is hard. Do I want to keep doing it? For Jesus, for many of Jesus' followers sitting in the synagogue that day, they hit that wall. Jesus said, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The drink that I will give is my blood. And many of his followers said, this is hard. And they stopped. So Jesus then turns to the 12. The disciples we know from Scripture, the 12. And he says, do you also wish to go away? What do you think, boys? Is it too hard? Faith is hard. We're called to follow Jesus, and we accept that call, and that's the easy part of it. We accept grace and forgiveness and love, and we're made right, and we're healed, and we're filled with God, and we think, this is great. And then we start hearing God's teachings. Hey, I want you to love one another. Okay, well, I can probably manage that. Oh, and I want you to love your neighbor, even the one that drives on my yard every time he's trying to pull into his driveway. That one I gotta love. And you need to love your enemy. Okay, now hold on just a second. You're getting kind of deep here on this. You need to serve one another. You need to be a slave to one another. You need to do unto the least of these. You need to forgive as you have been forgiven. And we say, this is hard. And it becomes a breaking point for us. We stop and we say, is this too much? Is it too hard? For some, they no longer follow him wherever he goes. But some choose to stay. Because it is hard. Jesus asked the 12, do you wish to go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Yeah, this is hard. Sometimes it seems ridiculously hard. Love my enemy. Turn the other cheek. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Yeah, yeah, this is hard. But Lord, trying to do this world without you, that seems impossible. Because you have the words of eternal life. With you is grace and hope and love. It's hard to follow Jesus, but trying to navigate this life without God, that's too much. Where else can I go, Lord? You have salvation. You have righteousness. You have justice and compassion and kindness. This is hard, I won't deny that, but it's easier than the alternative. Working out is hard. I don't like it. I don't like going. I convince myself every time that I don't want to waste that $10, so I have to go. But the results of having an active lifestyle, of working out, of trying to be healthier, of course the results, the benefits are enormous. This week I had to go have a cardio scan done where they put you in the big CT machine, which has a tube about gallon of ice cream in a pint container, stuff me in there. And they take a picture of my heart. It actually takes several pictures. It takes, it's like slices of your heart. It takes these pictures. You can hear it as it's taking these pictures. And I come out and I'm talking to the tech afterwards. She's reading the results. And she says, we didn't find any calcification. There's no problems whatsoever. Your heart's perfectly healthy. Well, yay, I guess I should go to the gym. Of course the results, the benefits are amazing. Of course they're enormous. Of course that's what we're after, is to have a healthier lifestyle. I am healthier. I live a better life. I feel better. I am better. Faith is hard. The idea that we have to love each other, even the people we don't like, even the people we would call enemy. The idea that we have to serve one another, even the people we don't like, even the people we would call enemy. The idea that we have to forgive one another, even the people we don't like, even the people we would call enemy. Faith is hard. But the alternative is death. Because only God has the words of eternal life. Only God has the living bread. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.